Retirement. It's a journey. You'll see peaks and valleys, fair weather and foul. You'll make new friends, but there will also be bandits along the way. So protect your money, but also your health, because this journey requires both. Whether you're still preparing, just taking your first steps, or have been on the path for years, welcome to Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom you need to live life your way, all the way. Now, here's your host of Retirement Journey, Jeff Bucher.
Well, it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon here in Northwest Ohio, and you're listening to Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station News Talk 1370 WSPD. And this is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom to live life your way, all the way. Well, today we've got a special treat for you. One of our partners of this show, Spangler Nathanson, one of the most well-respected law firms here in downtown Toledo. We've got three of the six managing partners with us, and they're going to talk about all the different things that are happening in their office, including some new additions of some attorneys that they've recently brought in as they're growing their practice. And but before we get to them, you know, as the president of Citizen Advisory Group, and, you know, we get to work with people just like you who are out there and thinking about retirement or very close to retirement, and or maybe you're already there. And one of the things that we talk about so often is the what ifs in your financial plan. As you know, I always contend that retirement is so different today than it used to be. We used to retire and have a pension from the job that we had, and we had Social Security, and quite frankly, we didn't live very long. We lived maybe a few years into retirement, and we passed away, and retirement was pretty easy. But the environment that we live in today, we've got many of you do not have a pension, and so you have to rely on your 401k and investing it and managing it and understanding how are you going to make it through the rest of your life, the rest of your retirement, and live the journey that you've always dreamt and hoped for. You know, it's fascinating to me because that challenge is very new. Again, that pension world for many of you is over, and so today we retire with Social Security. And some of you are probably worried about the future of Social Security, but we've got Social Security in that 401k, and we might be retired for 30 years. So what are the what-ifs that can happen to us? You know, that longevity. We could have a health care risk. We could have inflation. We could have market volatility that erases some of our net worth. And so how do you plan for all that? Well, that's our specialty at Citizen Advisory Group, and, you know, would I know that if you sit down and you draft a plan with a financial advisor, with your financial advisor, you can eliminate, just start crossing off these risks, these what ifs, so that you can go out and have that retirement journey of your dreams. You know, I contend that when we think of retirement, we certainly don't think of the markets, what stock to buy. We don't think of the political environment, which, by the way, is so contentious today, and one of the areas that they're looking at is IRA funds. And the reason for that is we need tax dollars. We need to increase revenue for the government, and those are very nice untapped taxed accounts. And so there's a lot of legislation happening right now about your IRA. And so when you just look at all of these things, how do you plan and make sure that none of this stuff matters to you? Because that's not what retirement's about. Retirement's about other things like golf and grandkids and fun and all of those kind of things. And so whatever it is for you, that's what we want to make it about. You can find more information about us at citizenadvisory.com, or you can call us at the office at 419-872-0204. It'd be our pleasure to sit down with you and draft that plan for you so you can have the retirement journey you've always dreamt of. Well, the what-ifs aren't just in the financial side. There's so many other things in your life that can creep up, and that's why we have partners like Spangler Nathanson, who specialize in the area of law. And, you know, many things can happen throughout your life, and we're going to have specialists in many different areas today, business, family, estate planning, so many different areas that could potentially impact you. And we're going to start off with, we're going to start off with Dick Wolf. He's one of the managing partners of Spangler Nathanson, and we're going to talk about some business planning issues that could be out there. And Dick, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and it's a pleasure for us to all be here today. We appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's really cool to have, first of all, we were just talking about, this is, if you're listening today, this is the big cheese of Spangler Nathans, and this is three of the six managing partners, and Dick, you're one of those guys, and you've been around the firm. Tell us a little bit, if listeners today might not know who Spangler Nathanson is, who are they, and tell us a little bit about the firm.
Well, Spangler Nathanson was founded in 1947, so we've been serving Toledo, Northwest Ohio, and Southeast Michigan for 67 years now. We've been in downtown Toledo the entire time. We have 25 attorneys now, and our practice areas are business and real estate, estate planning and probate, employment law, education law, litigation, and family law. And we're particularly excited because we just added five new members to the firm, Jerry Kowalski, Renisa Dorner, Paris Coleman, Sarah Scow, and John Zarnecki, and they have really bolstered our litigation, business, and employment law departments.
Well, and so, you know, many people, it's been around for quite a long time here in downtown Toledo, many different disciplines, and one of the things I can tell from my own personal experience that it makes a lot of sense is law can be overlapping, and you always want to have a specialist working on whatever it may be in your case. So for me, you know, I've got business planning issues, estate planning issues, all the different things. And if I go to just one person, a person, they might not have the specialty and the knowledge, the expertise, the experience that might be required in a given situation. Wouldn't that be fair?
Well, that's very true. And actually, Jim and I work on a lot of matters together. Jim's in the estate planning area, and that overlaps quite a bit with the business area, which I practice. And Patty and I, as a matter of fact, just this past week, started on a case together involving some divorce issues that also overlap into the business area with a couple that owns a business together.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's pretty crucial sometimes when you're out there looking for an attorney, that you want to have a specialist. You want to have an expert, whether, you know, you want to have someone that has that experience. And they can find information about Spangler Nathanson, by the way, at snlaw.com. That's Spangler Nathanson, snlaw.com. So in the business planning world, as a business owner, there's some things I should probably be worried about, and I know we've kind of gone over them. Talk about just some general things as business owners that are kind of out there.
Well, especially talking to your listenership, there are probably a lot of folks out there who are obviously thinking about retirement or getting close to retirement, and what really enters into from a business standpoint there is succession planning. A lot of folks have family-owned businesses or other closely held companies with other individuals, and a lot of them want to retire, but they also want the business to continue because it's an important part of their life. So they're looking at ways to make sure that transition is smooth while at the same time making sure that they're getting out of the company what they need to enjoy their retirement.
Well, and I also find fascinating, too, sometimes with small businesses, I have a client recently who very successful business, but it's really him and his wife. And in his mind, when it was going to be over, that was going to be it. And the reality is there's a lot of value in a business, especially one that's been successful. And sometimes people might not realize the value of maybe selling it. Sometimes people think, well, I'll just close and liquidate the company. But maybe there's a better way to do that, and that's where you guys can come in and develop a plan.
That's true, and in certain instances, that is the only way. There's just nobody else out there interested or capable of handling the business. But in many instances, hopefully there is, in a family-owned business especially, a lot of times there may be a son, a daughter, a sibling, a niece, nephew, who can carry it on. Or there might be a trusted employee who might be able to do it too. If that's not the case, you can always go to a business broker or to an attorney, accountant. They can often locate potential buyers of the business for you and give you some advice on how to go about doing that.
Right, because there's companies out there that actually specialize in that to find actually a connection. It's like Match.com for business owners right?
That's exactly right. There are several businesses like that.
Gotcha. Well, and so if I'm a business owner, talk to us about some areas. You know, how do I actually pass on these businesses? You mentioned four areas in your notes to me. How can I dissolve myself out of this, get the value from it that I deserve, but still protect the company as they move forward?
Well, you really have to approach it from an organized transition plan, and that's where we enter in when you come to talk to us about how you might want to pass on the business. Some examples of what we've done, Right now, we have two businesses. One is owned by two brothers. They've owned it for a number of years, and they each have a son who are interested in taking over the business. They're not quite ready, really, to take over it full bore. We have another set of gentlemen who are not related, but they've been in business together, close relationship, and one of them has two sons who want to be involved in the business. Now, a lot of times you have children, perhaps, who know something about the business, but they're not quite sophisticated enough to manage it, but you want to get them an interest in the company so they're vested in the company going forward. One technique we use is non-voting stock, assuming it's a corporation, and you have the voting stock, which the senior generation owns. You can give or sell to the second generation non-voting stock, which gives them an equity interest in the company, but no voting rights yet. So the seniors are still controlling the organization and day-to-day business and the decisions, but the younger members can get an equity interest, have another interest in making sure the business succeeds. And as you bring them along, then you can gradually get them the voting stock where they will eventually take over the company.
Well, I have a coach and mentor. Actually, I get to go see him this week. Somewhat famous if you're a reader. He was featured in the book called The Secret, and his name is Lee Brower. Lee actually works with the most famous family businesses in the world. He's a financial advisor who what he found was, and you probably in the law side of it can see this often, within two, three generations, even immense wealth can be completely lost. And what he would say is one of the issues with these family businesses, we might think that our kids want it. They may not want this business. And B, they might not be us, the person that was the driver and the brains and the creativity behind this business. And once it passes to the next generation, we could be in a lot of trouble if they don't have the same drive that maybe we had as a business owner.
There's no question about that.
So you guys probably see that a lot. Talk to us a little bit about gifting. And so that would be an area, you know, if I'm an owner of a business, I could begin to gift stock or do some things of that nature to start the transition too.
That's one of the real basic decisions the family owner has to make is, or the family business owner has to make. Am I going to give this stock away, or am I going to have it purchased by the next generation or whoever it is coming into the business? Again, it may be a trusted non-family member who has been with the business a long time. So if you're going to gift the stock, it's fairly easy to do. You have to be cognizant of the annual gift tax exclusion, and which is now $14,000 per donee. You have to be cognizant of the overall unified credit, which now is past $5 million a year and isn't really a concern for most people. But you can gift it outright. You can gift it outright over time. You can make an installment sale of the stock if you want to have them purchase it. There's some family members, especially, who think, gee, I built all this up, and while I want my children to get this business, they need to pay for it just the same way that I did. So I may not just give it to them outright. There's another way, though, you can combine those things. You can give them stock, being the second generation, but then the senior owner may enter into a consulting agreement or an employment contract over a period of time. So he may not be getting the payment for the stock that he's giving to his next generation, but he is getting a payout for providing services to the company over a course of years. And, of course, either on an installment sale or getting paid out over a number of years benefits the company because they don't have to come up with the cash right away, and it benefits the recipient because he or she can spread out the tax impact over several years as opposed to recognizing it all at one time.
Well, and some continuity, too, I would suspect, you know, with the owner kind of staying on board and maybe mentoring and bringing along the company and slowly stepping out of it as well. One of the challenges I know in transitions of business, and I know in the financial services world, it's certainly an issue, especially with a private firm like us, is the funding of this. And one of the challenges could be that if I get too big, an average person can't buy me, and then maybe I'm not big enough for a big company to really be that interested either, so I could potentially get stuck in the middle. What are some ways that we can fund a buyout for potential buyers?
Before I get right to it, I want to mention that one of the important things in all this, and including the funding, is to have a buy-sell agreement in place between the owners, especially if you're bringing on new owners to put them in. The buy-sell agreement will set up a procedure for all this, for how the stock is going to be transferred. It'll give the other shareholders a right of first refusal to have the stock, so the one shareholder just can't transfer it out. It'll provide a mechanism for pricing the stock. And one of the other things is what you mentioned is funding, how we're going to fund that. One of the key ways to fund it is through life insurance in the event of the death of a shareholder. And either the company can purchase the life insurance to pay out the deceased shareholder, or the other shareholders can purchase insurance on the other shareholders. It's a cross-purchase type of arrangement. You can certainly look into traditional methods of funding through lending institutions, try to set that up in advance. The company itself can be the financing entity for the funding also. Typically, you're going to fund these things, other than in a death situation with life insurance, by providing for payment over time on an installment sale basis. So the company or the other shareholders have the time to get the funds, and they can spread it out over time. Often, if it's the other shareholders in a cross-purchase type of situation and there's no insurance involved, you will be bonusing out that money maybe to those folks during or over a certain amount of time, so they have the extra money to actually make the purchase from the shareholder who's getting out.
It sounds pretty complicated, so that's why we need people like you to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. How can, if I'm a business owner out there, and you might have struck a nerve with me this morning, how can I get in touch with you?
Well, please, you can call us anytime. You can call our general number at 419-241-2201. You can call me, Dick Wolf, directly at 419-252-6253. Or feel free to go online for some information at SpenglerNathanson.com and check us out there. But we're very efficient, very quick to respond to inquiries, and we'd love to help anybody out there with these types of issues.
All right. Well, that's Dick Wolf. Thank you so much. And when we come back, we're going to have a person that has a designation, a certification that no one else in Northwest Ohio has. So you're not going to want to miss that. Stick with us. This is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher on 1370 WSPD.
Retirement. It's not a destination. It's a journey.
This is Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station, News Talk 1370 WSPD. This is a Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, where it's all about the health, wealth, and freedom. You need to live life your way, all the way. Well, today we've got a special guest here in studio with us, Spangler Nathanson. They're attorneys at law here in downtown Toledo. They've been around a long, long time, and if you don't know of them, you can find them at the web at snlaw.com. That's SN for Spangler Nathanson, law.com. Before the break, I mentioned we've got the three of the six managing partners of the firm here, and lots happening with additions of new attorneys. And joining us now, we have Patty Kurt. And Patty, this morning you were telling me you have a designation or a certification that no one here in Northwest Ohio has. You're by the Ohio State Bar Association, you're a certified family law specialist. Talk to us a little bit. What does that even mean?
Well, Jeff, that means that I had to undergo a special bar examination as it relates to family law matters. I had to have approval by the Ohio State Bar Association to sit for the exam, and also I had to garner support from local attorneys and judges that felt that I was qualified and capable of such a designation.
Well, so what it means is you have the expertise, the experience to work in family law. What does family law mean? What does that mean?
It's actually a very broad area. Here in Lucas County, our family law is in three courts: the family court on Michigan Street, which primarily handles divorces and dissolutions, domestic violence actions; the juvenile court, which is on Spielbush, handles custody matters between parents that have children that were never married, along with dependency abuse neglect cases and juvenile trafficking and dependency matters, and also some limited probate matters. We do adoptions and also name changes in family court. The guardianships that are done in probate court are handled by our probate section.
Well, and so one of the things obviously you handle are divorces and things of that nature, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions on the financial side of things, how things work. So talk to us a little bit about what you do, how you help a client as far as divorce goes, and kind of things that someone might want to know.
Well, even before a person is anticipating a divorce, Jeff, they may come into our office because they would like to prepare a prenuptial agreement. And a prenuptial...
Well, prenups are interesting, right? Because a lot of people think I've got to be very wealthy to have a prenup, but that might not be the case, right?
That's correct. You may want to protect certain assets. You may have a car, collector's car you want to protect, a bank account, and most importantly, a premarital pension interest or other assets that you acquire after the marriage, especially if you're perhaps you're buying real estate.
Well, and... speaking of prenup, we just had a case this week, and it was very interesting. We were looking at a gift from a father to a son. Father, I believe, was 85. Son was late 50s. Concern there was, what happens if I get this gift and then now I get divorced 4 or 5 years later? And there can be some special considerations if there's an inheritance to us, as long as we keep things separate. Isn't that right?
Yes, with a qualified yes.
Yes.
Any property that you own before the marriage, you can and own after the marriage that you can trace clearly, is separate property, along with any property you acquire during the marriage by gift or inheritance from someone other than your spouse. So in the case that you're talking about, clearly the gift of stock, perhaps, or of money, an account can be separate assets. Yes, it's always good to not to commingle, but even if the proceeds are commingled, as long as you can trace it as separate assets, it can still be awarded to you as separate property.
Well, and so one of the ways to kind of protect yourself, and this is certainly, I would think, a gray area within the law. I think there's some areas of discretion, maybe by a judge or by others, but. One way I could protect it, if I were to get a gift, is to keep that in my name. Not commingling would mean having it in joint accounts with my spouse. As long as it's a clear line that shows my dad had this, now I have it, it was his, now it's mine, we should kind of protect that money.
Yes. As I tell clients that come in that have those kinds of issues, that are presenting with those kinds of issues, that it's all about paper trail. We have to prove where it came from, where it went, and where it is now. So the more documentation you have, you can prove by clear and convincing evidence that it's your separate asset.
Gotcha. So that's a prenup. What would be next?
Well, I would just mention, too, with regard to prenuptials, you have to declare in a prenuptial agreement what assets and liabilities you have. So you might be engaging your financial planner up front to help you identify all of your assets for purposes of protection in the prenuptial agreement.
But it can be very important. You know, a lot of times, and we see this as well, working with folks that are near or in retirement, a lot of second marriages and things, and we all want to believe that we're going to have a great ending, and we all want to think that if maybe I pass away, that my spouse is going to do the right thing for my former kids from a previous marriage. But without the proper paperwork documentation, whether it be through trust or through a prenup, we're really putting a lot of hope and faith in other people, really.
Yes. One of the first things I say to people that are concluding a divorce action is, whatever you do, the next time you get married, and everyone always says, not me, I'm not getting married again, but please call me for a prenuptial agreement. And as you touched on, Jeff, the saddest cases are those folks in their late 50s, early 60s that are perhaps in their second marriage, nearing retirement, and they're going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And any assets accumulated during the marriage due to the work efforts of either husband or wife are considered marital assets. So if you have someone that has a defined benefit pension, then the wife is entitled to one half of its value that accumulated during the marriage. And the courts use a marital quotient formula to determine that.
Wow. Well, so what else then?
Oftentimes, I will engage a financial expert or encourage parties to my client to make contact with a financial planner, if they've not done so already, to assess the assets that the parties have accumulated during the marriage and to determine the best way to divide those assets and perhaps the best division for my client of those particular assets.
Well, that's a great point because, you know, as we look at assets, for one, there could be ways to divide assets easily, so it's not that painful on the parties. But there also could be maybe advantages to one party or another, depending on which assets they actually end up receiving through the divorce proceeding, which is very important, could make a huge difference throughout that process.
Correct. And there can be tax consequences as well, such as basis if you're assuming certain stock.
Yeah, so there's a lot happening there. So what else do you want to talk about today?
Well, I just would like your readers to know that as Dick Wolf indicated, our areas of business, estate planning and family law and tax often intersect. And the benefit to our firm is that we do have attorneys that have expertise in all of those areas. So if I'm handling a complex divorce case with a business or multi-asset case, I have attorneys in my office that I can turn to for advice, assistance, if necessary. And that's very helpful. The other thing I would like your readership to understand and to know is that we are very unique in the city of Toledo and that we are the only firm that has a family law department. We are very dedicated to the family law area. We have three attorneys that only do family law. And that's myself, Steve Zutch, and Tanya Robinson. We also represent many people that are victims of domestic violence, and we also engage in issues concerning custody of children and visitation, child support, and spousal support matters. So lots of financial issues.
So lots happening, and really, I think one of the biggest benefits of working with a firm like Spangler Nathanson comes back to what you just said is there's now 25-plus attorneys there that all have different areas of expertise and experience, and when you're dealing with these types of matters, they're serious.
Correct.
And so you want to...
It's your life.
Yeah, right. It's pretty serious. And so you want to make sure... And I look at... It's very similar in the financial services world. There's many different financial advisors, but it's... There's only specialists... There's only so many specialists in certain areas. Our specialty happens to be the retirement planning, the retirement income planning phase of someone's life. It's very similar to being a doctor. Many doctors, but they're specialists in different areas. And if I'm going through any sort of legal issue, whether it be family law or as a business, as we've just talked with Dick Wolf previously, it really all comes down to there's going to be overlapping issues. It's not just going to be cut and dry. Typically, it's not going to be just one thing that I need help with.
Correct, especially the longer the term of the marriage.
Yeah, so there's going to be so many things that are happening. Anything else you want to share?
Just that I often refer parties to seek financial advice and guidance at the end of a divorce case because they will be managing certain assets. They may need to divide certain assets like 401k plans, et cetera, and they may need the assistance of a financial expert to do so.
It's going to be a whole new thing for a lot of people, right? They maybe not have done that maybe
Correct.
Ever in their life.
Correct.
Sometimes.
Especially if they're nearing retirement.
So much happening. Well, again, that's Patty Kurtz. She's a family law specialist as certified by the Ohio State Bar Association. You can, again, find Spangler Nathanson on the web at snlaw.com. Any other way to contact you directly, Patty?
Yes, you can call me at 419-252-6237, and that is direct dial to my secretary.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And when we come back, we're going to have a longtime friend of our show, Jim Anderson. He's been here several times to talk about all these sticky and messy estate issues that we've seen with some of these celebrities. Today, we're just going to talk more on general terms, but there's a lot that can happen at the time of your passing. And he's going to be here to talk to us about protecting yourself and your family so that your wishes are the ones that get carried out. You're listening to Retirement Journey, and this is 1370 WSPD. This is Toledo's news, weather, and traffic station, News Radio 1370 WSPD, and this is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher. I'm your host, Jeff, and today we've got a special guest at our show right here in studio live, Spangler Nathanson, attorneys at law. They're located right here in downtown Toledo. Their lineage goes back quite some time here in Toledo, and they've, as we've been mentioning throughout the show, they've got attorneys that specialize in all different kinds of areas. You can find them on the web at snlaw.com. SNLaw.com is their website. And joining us now is Jim Anderson, who works a lot in the estate planning world. And so, Jim, welcome to Retirement Journey.
Thanks. Nice to be back, Jeff.
So, you know, we've talked many times in the past, all these, you know, we've got will issues and trust issues, and I guess it's always good just to start with that. Just very quickly, the differences between a will and a trust and what people should know.
Well, everybody has a choice out there. You can either control where your property is going to go, or the state legislature will make a decision. And that's where the will and the trust come in terms of you making the decision.
Well, no one wants the state to make that decision, right?
Well, probably not. If you die without a will, there are certain laws that control where your property goes. And it gets complicated because if you have a spouse who is the first marriage, whether you have kids or not, that's one outcome. If you have a second marriage spouse with or without kids, then you even get into more complications because if it's one child and a spouse, that's one result. More than one, that's a different result. So it gets very complicated. And then there also are certain statutory rights spouses and children are given, whether they're minors or adults. So either you are going to dictate this through a will or a trust, or the legislature through these various laws is going to control it.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's a lot of times we've talked about some of these celebrity cases. And I think for the casual listener, you may have seen some of this on TV. And we've seen a lot here recently with the Casey Kasem. We've had a battle over the body. And I'm not even sure how that even shook out. He still might be somewhere that he's not supposed to be. I'm not sure. But so how do we protect ourselves? Give us some components of a good estate plan, some things that we need to be thinking about so that we don't end up having a battle over where we're going to be buried or who's going to handle our health care or where the money's going to go and all the things that can possibly catch us.
Right. I think there are basic components to a good estate plan. First of all, the will is an essential part of that. You have to, and a will is where you dictate where your property is going to go. If you have children, you can nominate a person or more than one person to be a guardian, alternate guardian. You can even now in Ohio nominate a guardian for an adult disabled child. That's relatively new. And you nominate an executor who's the person that's charged with responsibility to seeing that the wishes expressed in your will are carried out, working with the court, probate court in that case.
Well, and pretty much everybody should at least have a will, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that's true. And if you don't have a will, then you get into this intestacy, which I just described, which is a compilation of all these different laws that can dictate results you may not like.
Right, where an estate takes over.
Right. And that's probably the most important thing. Trusts, I think we've talked before about that. Trusts, there's lots of different kinds of trusts, but basically, what I tell people now, because of changes in Ohio law and the federal law with the exemptions being larger, and in Ohio we don't have an estate tax as of last year, that there are a lot of, I call them, traditional reasons for trusts. For example, it can be professional money management for your spouse or professional money management for your children or grandchildren. You get into creditor issues with your kids or your spouse. You can get into divorce, dissolution of your kids where you're worried about that. You may or may not like your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law. You want to make sure that the property's protected for a while. I've got a lot of that, believe me.
Well, I would imagine that's quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, and you get into drugs and alcohol with your kids where they want to tie things up in trust. Lot of reasons for trusts. Privacy, probate avoidance, probate court expense avoidance in some cases, although there are other ways to accomplish that, too.
Well, and when you talk about having your wishes made or carried out, a trust in particular with these beneficiaries on the financial, if we're just talking money for a moment, it's the only way to really control money beyond the grave. Otherwise, you know, I look at my kids who are very young. If they were to inherit, if something happened to my wife and I, we're going on a trip soon, and that could be devastating to their future in that at the age of 18, if they're the, you know, they'll have a guardian, they wouldn't get all that money today. But at the age of 18, if there's not a trust in place, they're walking into that money and it's now theirs with no nobody to tell them what to do or what they can't do.
That's correct, and there'll be no strings attached. And I don't really candidly know a lot of 18-year-olds who are ready to handle money, small or large.
I think I probably was. I used to tell my parents I was. They didn't believe me, though.
Well, I thought I was, too, but I think we do get a little smarter as we get older, at least hopefully. You know, another situation that comes up in these trusts a lot that overlaps with what Patty is talking about in Degas, second marriages, where you want to protect your spouse, but you also want to make sure that you protect your kids when your second surviving spouse is gone. That's very common, where somebody will come in and say, well, I want to take care of him or her, but you know what, when we're both gone, I really want to dictate that it go back to my kids. Or you can do something for your stepkids too, but that's a very common thing.
Yeah, we see that often, and that comes back to that trust or the faith that we put in someone else. We all want to believe that. Let's say I come into this second marriage with the assets, and my new wife doesn't have any. She's got her own kids. I have my kids. I do want to take care of her in case I pass away. But if we don't have the proper legal documentation in place, when I pass away, if she is the beneficiary or the named recipient of those funds, it now becomes her property. And, you know, that's where we get into now maybe these stepkids are in mama's ear and saying, Mom, you know, help me, or those guys aren't, that other side of the family, they're not nice to us anyway. And that's how real problems can creep up.
Yeah, I've been involved in a lot of litigation in this area, and it crosses over to what Patty was talking about with prenups. If you die and your spouse doesn't have a trust that you set up to control things and help them, in the alternative, they better have a prenup before they get remarried. Otherwise, they're losing control. Their spouse, the minute they get married, has statutory rights.
Yep. So much that comes into that there. Well, and one of the things, this might be a little bit off track, but when we look at cost, I might be listening today and say, well, A, I don't have enough money to have a trust. B, it's too expensive. Both of those are probably really misconceptions.
Oh, I think they are. The way I practice in particular, I will tell people at the initial conference, after we figure out what I think they need, here's what I estimate it's going to cost. Do you want to do it or not? And sometimes I'll say, you can do this and this now, and maybe we'll do this, frankly, when your spouse dies. There'll be time to do it then if you don't want to commit to it now. But this, they can get an idea. So they know going in, this is what it's going to cost. And it's really nice to have a trust, because you are, number one, taking care of everything while you're alive. And number two, it really does save you money and aggravation.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is when you look at the cost of setting up something like this, compared to the assets that you're protecting through this document, the percentage is meaningless. It's pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, I agree. And I've got one now where this has just come in the last few weeks. I haven't talked to you since I've had this one, but it's a prenup, a very poorly written prenup. We will have litigation when this guy dies, because he and his wife don't agree on how something's going to be distributed. He's changed his mind. The prenup really left it open. And
that's where the messes begin.
It's going to cost him. It's going to cost the family thousands of dollars to sort this out.
Wow.
So, yeah, they don't have to have a prenup. They really have to think it out and dictate what it is we want to do for each other.
Well, and that's why it's so important to sit down with someone like you before anything happens, because the things can change so quickly. And now what we agreed on, well, maybe I don't think that way anymore. Maybe, I'm also a believer that kids and other, you know, the kids can have a heavy influence on our thought process, especially as we're aging and maybe we're getting a little more vulnerable, as we age. And there's so much that happens there. So if we don't have the appropriate legal documents in place, we can really get taken advantage of, or B, just cause messes that really shouldn't have been there to begin with.
Right. We've got a case now, again, since I've been here last, where a grandson got out of prison, went to live with his grandmother, and he's gotten her, in my opinion, he's gotten her to change things in favor of him, and she's disinherited her two sons, his father. And this guy was a convicted felon. And we're in court now fighting about who's going to help this woman and make sure her bills get paid.
Well, those stories, unfortunately, are not really uncommon. I mean, you probably see those, you know, once a month or more sometimes.
We see it way too often. And so it's very important to have that you nominate the right people to take care of your financial affairs while you're alive and after you're gone, which can segue then into the other documents I think are important here. Another document I think is important, the financial power of attorney. And again, in this particular case I was just describing, she trusted her son for many years to handle her bills, and all of a sudden they go to a different lawyer, not me or anybody I knew. We're new to this, and change her power of attorney to name this grandson. And he then promptly is using that to, I think, benefit himself.
I'm sure.
So that's another one where while you're alive, you have the right to designate somebody who can handle things if you can't handle them.
Right. So let's talk about that, because there's two documents I think that most people, you would say, need, and that's the power of attorney for health care and the power of attorney for financial matters. What are the differences, and how do they become in play, so to speak?
Well, the financial power of attorney dictates, it authorizes somebody to help you with paying your bills, doing your investing, your area, filing your income tax returns, sell your house if necessary. It can be very broadly written or very narrowly written, and that is the financial side. The healthcare power is where you're dictating who will make medical decisions for you, both non-life-threatening and life-threatening, should you become unable to make them for yourself.
Well, and I would say that most people, if they have any legal work that they've done, probably have the healthcare power of attorney, but very rarely do we see that financial power of attorney.
They're both very important.
Well, and let's say, because sometimes people, I think, don't understand that if I own an IRA and then I become incapacitated, that account's really mine. Mm-hmm. It's an individual account owned by me. If my wife doesn't have that power of attorney, there's very little that she'll be able to do, whether it's taking withdrawals or changing an investment strategy or really doing much of anything. Is that correct?
That's true. And you can get into it. Lawyers differ on this. You can even authorize somebody to change beneficiaries. That gets dicey for me, personally.
Yeah, that seems a little scary.
Yeah, it does. And so sometimes I don't allow that in the documents I draft. Or we talk about it. It's up to the client, but
yeah,
that gets dicey.
Well, so we've got just a couple minutes left. What other things would you like to talk about today?
The living will is another document that's related to the healthcare power. That's where you're expressing your wish that you not be kept alive by artificial means if you're terminally ill. That overlaps somewhat with the healthcare power, though the healthcare power does govern non-life-threatening medical decisions as well.
Right, so those are two different documents.
Yeah, they're two different documents. There's a burial directive in Ohio, burial representative directive in Ohio now. I think I've touched on that prior shows. Less important, that's where you dictate, you can nominate somebody to actually arrange your whole funeral and your burial and everything, cremation, whatever it's going to be. Again, probably not critical in a first marriage, very important in a second marriage. All of these things come out of problems, and that one came out of a Columbus lady who said, I want to bury him by me. And the kids said, no, he's going by our mom.
Well, and that's the Casey Kasem story, I believe. Not only, first of all, they were having issues with the health care. The new wife, was doing things and taking him to doctors and places the family didn't want. And then even called it a kidnapping. They couldn't find him. And then he ultimately passed away. And then a huge fight on where the burial is going to be. And then, again, I'm still not quite clear on what happened. I didn't follow it that closely. But those things, that, you know, they happen to celebrities who have accumulated massive amounts of wealth and probably have attorneys around them, but they didn't take the proper steps to make sure that these things are happening. So it can happen to anybody, but it's as simple as calling someone like you and having an hour-long conversation with you, and they could pretty much draft up a plan to make sure that all of their wishes are going to be carried out.
That's correct. And a couple other things I want to touch on that really affect everything we, in terms of asset disposition that we talked about. How you title assets can either aid or destroy your estate plan. Beneficiary designations, again, can either aid or destroy a well-planned estate plan. And you need to keep that in mind. Those things need to be coordinated with your will and trust, or you will, in some cases, be you'll be exercising a futile option.
Right. Well, you know, I think that probably the number one mistake or problem with a trust, and this is me on the outside, and you might think something differently, but the number one problem with the trust is you set the trust up, but you never funded it, you never titled anything to it, you didn't handle beneficiaries properly. So yes, you have this document, but if you don't do the second part of that, that trust is basically worthless.
That's right, and we've had cases like that. I think the commercial you run here describes a case I was involved in where a guy in Bowling Green had his trust set up to take care of his second spouse and his kids, and he didn't fund it. And the second spouse came in and made one of those elections we were talking about and took a couple million dollars from those kids
right.
that he didn't intend her to have. He wanted her to have the use of the income, but not the principal.
Not the money.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, well, there's so much can go into that. And any other documents that you think are important?
No, I think that's pretty much it. You can also combine in the healthcare document. If you want to do organ donation, there's a way of doing that now through the healthcare power and the living will.
Well, there's so much, and really just I'm under the belief that pretty much everybody should sit down with an attorney like you just to kind of have that discussion of their situation and the special niches and things that are within there. Everybody's different. Everybody's situation is so different. And to sit down with you and kind of map that out makes a lot of sense. And again, it's not going to cost an arm and a leg, and especially in comparison to the entire estate that you might be dealing with. And you don't have to be a millionaire to have a trust.
No, that's right. And one other thing, I'm seeing a lot of this in recent years. I had a two-day trial on one of them. We're seeing fights between kids over controlling who's going to help their parent, helper. If pay the bills, who's going to control the money? A lot of fights, and they turn into guardianship fights over an adult parent who's failing mentally. And so it's very important to have that financial power, and that also you can nominate a guardian in there if you need a guardian, and that is, in this court locally, they pay great deference to that. That settles the fight. Otherwise, I've had two twin brothers who we had a two-day trial fighting over control of their mother's money.
Well, and you can eliminate all that.
You can eliminate all that by doing that document.
Well, so how can we get in touch with you, Jim?
Well, you can call me directly, and I'll pick up the phone if I'm there, 419-252-6268. And I'll be happy to talk to you, and we can set up a time for you to come in. And we'll review things, and I'll make recommendations, and then you can decide whether you want to implement it or not.
Well, that's Jim Anderson from Spangler Nathanson. Again, you can find him on the web at snlaw.com. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about some of these matters that can affect you in your retirement. This is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher on 1370 WSPD.
Retirement is a journey. Enjoy the trip.
This is Toledo's News, Weather, and Traffic Station, News Radio 1370 WSPD, and this is Retirement Journey with Jeff Bucher, and I'm your host, Jeff, and today we had on great partners of our show, Spangler Nathanson. We're so grateful for their support of our show, and I'm so grateful for your support of the show and for listening, and we strive to each and every week bring you content that's going to help you along your retirement journey. But with sad news, we have decided we're going to take a hiatus from the show, Retirement Journey. We're here live every Sunday, and we've decided to take a break and spend a little more time with our families. It's not a goodbye forever, but just a goodbye for now. And you can still listen to our podcast on our website. You can find us at citizenadvisory.com, or you can call us at the office. If we can do anything to ever assist you, we would be just honored, and it would be our pleasure to work with you. You can call us at 419-872-0204. I want to thank our great partner, Spangler Nathanson, for coming on the show today and being a great sponsor of our show. You can find him at snlaw.com. Michelle Evans of Evans Home Loans and Insurance down in Bowling Green, thank you so much for everything you've done. And Scrambler Marie's and the great food that they have there and all the things that you've done for our show. We're so thankful. Well, this is Jeff Bucher, and you're listening to Retirement Journey. We're signing off. Thank you so much. You're listening to 1370 WSPD.
The content on this paid program show is for educational and entertainment purposes only and not intended to be used as legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with the appropriate professional before making any financial decisions. Investment advisory services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Citizen Advisory Group, LTD, are independent entities.